and welcome to Conversations on Karate. I'm Sue.
I'm Greg.
And
it's been a while.
Has been a while. So we're here for a random catch-up.
A random catch-up.
On what is going on. So, first of all, we both watched parts of the latest, not the latest, but the Izzy versus Sean UFC. So let's talk about Izzy and Sean, because that was unexpected.
It was unexpected. Yeah.
What did you think of it?
I'm kind of glad, to be honest.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I thought Sean's game plan was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Just pressure Izzy completely.
Mm-hmm.
Take all of his range away. Take his ability to counter away. It was really good, yeah. It was fantastic.
I was totally impressed with the way, because, I mean, Izzy normally is quite active, and Sean was just so steady, just, like, controlling the centre most of the time.
Mm. Just yeah, he just barely didn't allow Izzy to get off any offense, really.
No. Do you think it was all about Sean controlling everything, or do you think it was also that Izzy wasn't firing as well as he would do in the past? Because he didn't seem to me to be as active as we just said. So do you think that was also about Izzy just not doing as much
really
activity? No?
I think the reason he wasn't as active is because he couldn't get his rhythm.
Mm.
Just because Sean was pressuring him so much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he could start to get active, to be honest. So no, I don't. Yeah, I've seen people say that, oh, Izzy had an off night, but I don't think he did.
Mm.
I think it was just, I think Sean Strickland is just a nightmare matchup for someone like Israel. Just, I really think he is, just because the styles are so, they're so different. Yeah, interesting. It was an interesting fight.
I was
going to say they're going to do the rematch, I think, which I don't know really if I need to see straight away, but
yeah. Have they said when they're thinking that should happen or might happen?
No, I don't think so.
No, not too soon then.
No.
I hope not.
Probably not until next year.
Yeah. Well, mind you, that's not very far away.
True. Yeah, true. I still feel like we're in like April or something.
I know. This year's been weird.
Yeah.
I feel like time has kind of collapsed in on itself this year. I don't know if it's post-COVID kind of weirdness in time, but this, yeah, it was April for a long time, and then it was June for quite a long time. And then all of a sudden, we seem to be about three months away from Christmas, and I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, it's weird.
I know. But right now, it's still nice weather and everything, and it feels very autumn.
It was all right today. I mean, it's been raining for the last week.
Yeah, it's nice now. It's nice now. Yeah, looking out the window at blue sky.
It's good.
It's nice. It's nice. So, did you watch any of the rest of that particular UFC, or not so much?
I didn't. I didn't at all, to be honest.
Is that just because you just didn't get to, or are you just not that into it at the moment?
No, I just didn't get to.
Yeah.
Didn't get to.
When you do, or if you do, there were definitely some good fights in there. Definitely some good ones. I watched most of it, and I enjoyed it very, very much. Felipe de Santos, the flyweight, that was entertaining. That was entertaining. If I remember rightly, that one was just super fast. It was like on double speed.
I'll tell you what I did watch was the one championship yesterday's, not yesterday, day before, whatever it was, the Muay Thai fight between Rod Tang and Superlek. That was insane.
Really?
Insane.
I tell you what, drop me a link and we'll share it in the comments and people can have a look.
That's worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
That was impressive.
Mm-hmm. Why? Why was it impressive? What
just
was
non-stop
it?
Non-stop action, madness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just crazy. I'll link it.
You do. You link it. You put the link in and let us all see it, because I'd love to see that. Because you've been getting into actually sampling a bit of Muay Thai lately, haven't you?
I mean, I've done one class.
One class.
But it's just because work's been so crazy, I haven't been able to go back. But I am going to go back now that I'm back to a routine, I think. So hopefully I'll be able to get back.
How did you find it?
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, yeah. It's very similar to karate, but it's also different. I like the clinch work was good. That's similar. And the low kicks, I really like.
Mm.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was just nice to spar with a few different people and people that you're not used to. It was good.
Was it harder than you expected? Was it just?
It was harder in terms of the fitness aspect. It was tough, really tough.
Mm.
But no, in terms of like the actual technical stuff, it was kind of the way I thought it was going to be.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good. So you're going to go back and keep trying that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mhm. Mhm. Okay. So what I was going to ask you is although this, I know, what are you enjoying most at the moment? Because you tried that. I wasn't sure how many times you'd done that. And I know you're just doing tons of BJJ. And you do all the training that we all do as well. So I wanted to ask you, what in your training are you enjoying the most right now?
BJJ.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just because it's learning so much.
Mm.
So I always feel like I'm learning something every time.
Mm.
And I can feel the development.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely BJJ. That's not because it's BJJ, by the way. For all the crap, people go, oh, he's turned into a BJJ guy. It's not because it's that. It could be anything. If it was judo, it would be judo. It's just because it's new and it's learning something that...
Mm.
Yeah. It's just learning new things every time.
Mm. I think that's huge. That level of excitement that you get when you're on a real learning curve. You've maybe got mm-hmm. over the first few lessons and that fear of, oh God, this is so hard. I'm never, ever mm-hmm. going to understand this. And talking to new students at our class and mm-hmm. hearing them say, but this will happen and that will happen. And I remember having all of those thoughts too and thinking, yeah, I knew then that it was actually impossible to do this. I knew that it was all just not possible, that everyone else has superpowers because they're able to shut down everything you do. And it's that feeling that you at the very beginning that you can't possibly know all this stuff.
Yeah.
You get over that and you start going, oh, okay. Oh, now it's starting to just a bit solidify.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, I mean, for me, I don't get that as much from karate anymore because obviously I'm...
You've been doing it forever.
Well, it's not just that, but I don't really train at our club, teach at our club.
Mm.
So I spend most of the time either teaching or kind of helping teach.
Mm.
So it's a slightly different. But yeah, no, that's why I'm enjoying the BJJ. Just the learning. So much to learn. It's good.
Mm. When we train and you're teaching me something, it's just so fascinating, just like that. When your instincts tell you to roll one way, you know, roll away from something, and actually the answer is to roll in and lift the knee. It's just like makes so much sense as soon as you do it and it starts to come together.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it is absolutely fascinating. But I think, like you say, it's that part of being at the beginning of something, really when all the information is flooding in, it's just so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'm still enjoying the teaching, to be fair. I do enjoy teaching.
Yeah. Teaching's fun, isn't it? I never wanted to do it, but I've done a little bit now, just few bits here and there.
Yeah.
And it's rather nice imparting something and thinking,
It is.
Yeah. And seeing someone's delight when they get it.
Yes.
Because we've got quite a lot of young people, little ones. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but some quite wee people in our class right now.
Yeah, we do.
And it's rather lovely kind of imparting something.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we've got some good ones.
I was going to ask something then, and I've lost it already. Yeah. I can't remember if we talked about this before. I know that Andy Allen has mentioned this, how useful it is to him to have a teaching qualifications and what have you. When do you feel like it's important for people to have like qualifications and to learn how to teach? Do you feel like it's when you're kind of coaching a bit, or when you're actually setting up a school and you're having to design a syllabus? When do you feel like, because you've done all of that without having a teaching qualification.
I was going to say, yeah. So I don't know if I can really say that it's important for someone to have. I don't know if I have an answer to that, to be honest. I don't know. I think martial arts teaching is so, I know Matt's spoken about this before, this is so kind of what's the word? I can't think. But it's so unregulated is what I'm trying to think of.
Mm.
So unregulated that you can kind of just do what you want, which is a good and a bad thing. And I think for like the 3K traditional karate system, I don't think it matters too much because it's very just watch and copy.
Yeah. And
there's very little kind of like detail that you need to.
Yeah. Or it's very fine detail that's sort of been laid out for you, because actually the curriculum is fairly much set by the organization, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they've done all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, one sec.
You're right.
Yeah, we had a stray cat that we've taken in.
Oh, really?
I could hear him going, yeah, all right, don't chase the other one. He's huge.
Is he?
He's like the biggest cat I've ever seen.
Really? What colour is he?
He's tabby. Yeah, he's lovely. So he's now ours. He now lives here. But when we first took him in, we put him in the garage because we had to keep him somewhere before we could take him into the vets to get checked. He had a horrible abscess on his ear and stuff, so we had to get all that sorted. And now every night before, like, he goes to the garage and wants to go in there.
Oh.
So that's where he sleeps. So anyway.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, he's a. But the other one's not a big fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, what were we saying?
These cats tend to show up. My cat was a stray at a friend's house, at another woman's house. And he just rocked up, 7 months old, said, yeah, I like this, I'll live here then. And all of her cats, like all three of them, were like, no, I can't cope, I hate this cat. So she had to get rid of him, which is why I ended up taking on this little stray with this huge personality. It was just like, yeah, I'll take it. You look like you'll worship me. That's okay. In the way that cats do, they have this absolute presence of like, you know, I'm going to need some food and a bed, all the heating on, and crack on. Yeah.
They run the place.
They do. Very differently than dogs.
Very differently.
Very differently. Anyway, so yeah. Suddenly got me wondering, who's the cat in the UFC? Who's the cat?
Who's the cat?
Who's the cat?
Is there no one with a nickname, the cat, in the UFC? There should be.
There should be. Maybe it should be. Wait, maybe we should find one. Someone should be the cat, not the goat, the cat.
The cat. Speaking of the goat, John Jones is fighting very soon, isn't he?
He is. That is exciting. Okay. Yeah, that is actually. When is that?
November, I think.
All right. Let me just look that up real quick, if I can. Well, maybe I'll look it up a bit later because this could take me a while to do that. Anyway, okay, so I had another random question for you. I was kind of thinking about this, and from just so many times that I see this out there in the world, and also from various Ken podcasts that I've seen, Ken Fu podcasts.
Yeah, before we say anything else, let's wish Ken the biggest amount of support possible.
Yeah.
He had a very nasty injury, for people that haven't seen him. Just anyone who hasn't seen Ken's recent videos, go and watch it.
Mm.
He's been the most positive person possible through something like this, I think. And yeah, it's a nasty injury.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Poor guy. Just.
But we're sending him all the support in the world.
We are. We are. He's the loveliest man. He's so kind. He gives us so much. He gives, you know, to us, he gives us time and energy and
yeah,
so much support. And he's yeah, just lovely.
He is. So, yeah, I just hopefully he makes a full recovery.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah, he's a good egg. And also, even if you don't know him, he has got some great takes on all things, just kind of not just martial arts, but martial arts and attitude, martial arts and training, martial arts on character development, but just from a really thoughtful perspective. You know?
Everything he does is great. Go and watch him.
Everything immediately. Stop listening to this, in fact, and go straight over there and listen to Ken's stuff instead.
Watch Ken's instead. It's so good. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So I was thinking about his stuff and just generally watching people change things and do different things and constantly seeing these questions come up on various karate groups and stuff. And I guess we might have talked about this before, but if you were to be asked, how do you kind of change direction or not just take up a new art, but an extra art, or just change direction in what you're training? And how do you give yourself permission to that? How do you let go of the way that you're training without feeling like a failure at doing something? Does that kind of make sense?
It
if you're
sense.
Feeling
yeah,
like
yeah.
you're, you know, maybe you've changed or it's changed or something, you just want to shift a bit. You still want to do it, but you want to shift.
Two things. If you want to go and do another art itself, I think the hardest step is to just turn up.
Mm.
Same as when you first started to do karate, the hardest thing was just walking through the door. It's the same thing. The amount of time it took me to just go, I'm going to go to BJJ and I'm just going to do it.
Mm.
Is that in your head of, I'm experiencing something, but I'm going to be a complete beginner in this. It's a hard thing to overcome, I think, for everyone.
Mm.
If you're just looking to change direction of your training, I think something like an open mat that we do, just a small group of people who might like to do the same kind of thing as you.
Mm.
Just a little training group to try things out away from your normal class. I think is a good way to do it.
Mm.
Just start slowly easing things in. And I guess it depends on the direction you want to go. Where you are now.
Mm.
I mean, if you're a complete traditional club that want to move to something more, I hate the word, but applied, then just yeah, very gradually adding things in can be a simple way to do it. Just testing how it sits with the rest of the club, really.
Mm.
Yeah.
So if you're feeling like you wanted to, if somebody was feeling like they wanted to change direction or do something kind of different, how would you find out for them? How would they understand if it just wasn't working for them anymore, or they were feeling like they were failing or not doing so well, and therefore trying to find a different way of how do I put this? How would somebody understand if they were sort of copping out of doing something that was just challenging them and making them feel crap and not getting where they want to be, or just becoming interested in a different direction?
That's a good question.
Because I think you can stick with something really challenging too hard for too long.
You can, but you also need to give things time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know, I mean, you can't say, oh, I've given it a month and this isn't, you know, it's not going the way I want, so I'm going to try something else. Mm. Because I guarantee that if you do that, you'll try the other thing for a month and you'll go, that's not going the way I want, and I'll try something else.
Mm.
You've got to give things time. I mean, if me and Joe said after a month with BJJ, it was a year or more of us just getting completely smashed every week. Where you just, it's just part of it.
Yeah.
I think it's the same with all martial arts. You're not going to go in and expect to kind of be good.
No.
It takes a long time.
It does. It takes a very long time. And I mean, I know from my experience that I usually feel like I've got absolutely nowhere and done nothing until I find myself trying to help someone out who's at the beginning, and you think, oh yeah, of course I do not actually know that bit.
Mm.
You know, but there are definitely times when you feel like, I've been really struggling with this for a while and I don't seem to be getting anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, some things that you do are just not going to be something that you use.
Mm.
You know, like 100% of a martial art is not going to be what you do.
Mm.
It just never will. You'll do bits and pieces of it really well, bits and pieces that you won't touch because it just doesn't work for you.
Yeah, very true.
But like I said, I think as long as you've given it time to actually go, yeah, this isn't for me, I'm not going to use this.
Mm.
It's fine. As long as it's not, I've tried it twice and it doesn't work. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Give it time.
Mm.
But ultimately, if you're finding that you're not enjoying it after, what, a few months, I mean, I guess there's different aspects of this. If you're new in an art versus if you've been doing something for a long time and have got stuck, which is something that Ken frequently talks about, you know, that feeling of I'm in a rut and I'm not moving anywhere and nothing's happening for me. So there are very different ends of the spectrum. I think they feel very differently. So, you know, so basically you're saying, you know, both of those periods need to be given a chance. So if you feel like you're stuck in a rut, give that a chance or maybe go mix it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Give yourself permission to just go, I'm going to stop doing this for a while and I'm going to go and do something else.
Yeah.
I'm not stopping this completely.
I'm just do it a different way, maybe.
I'm just going to have a break for a month, go and try something else, and then come back and see if my perspective's changed a little bit.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're new at it, try and understand if you're just sick of being the crappiest one in the class, because you're going to have to learn for that to be the case for quite a while.
Yeah. Or, I mean, don't get me wrong. When I say about me and Joe being smashed as jiu-jitsu, that did not make it unenjoyable.
No, absolutely not, because the learning's there. There's the learning and the enjoyment. Yeah. Those are huge components in doing what we do. What we do is, as I think James has said to us, is that martial arts is something that, you know, asks you a lot of questions that you have to answer. It's and I think it's too hard to do if you don't actually get a thrill out of it every time you show up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it needs to be something you somewhat enjoy. Otherwise, just don't do it. Simple as that. If you don't enjoy it, don't do it. No one's forcing you to do it.
No, absolutely.
So do something else.
This is a voluntary activity, sir. You can leave.
You don't have to be there.
You do not have to be here. It's okay. All right. So we all have full permission there. You've all heard it from Greg. We all have full permission.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're really limited on time this morning. So do we need to leave that one there?
Yeah. I mean, I've got like, I suppose I've got like another 5-10 minutes. We can, if you've got another question.
Okay.
Another topic.
So I saw this one come up and we've talked around this a little bit, but this was quite an interesting one. So I'm going to slightly misquote it. You're a student in martial arts, in a karate class. Your instructor says to you, we are going to have a certificated self-defense course here that everyone is welcome to come to. And you don't know what to do about it. You don't know who's training it. And so what would you do? What would you ask? Because I know what I'm thinking, but I'm thinking that from the perspective of having had so many conversations with all the people we've spoken to.
Yeah.
So there you are. You're a student.
I know where you're coming from with this. I saw the same thing.
And I thought it was an interesting one because I think actually that's a challenging one from a student's perspective. What did they do?
It is, because you rely on your teacher.
You rely on your teacher.
This is the problem we have in martial arts when it comes to self-defense is the teachers, I'll be honest, know not a lot about self-defense, myself included, by the way. I'm not a self-defense teacher and I'm not claiming to be, but we've spoken to enough people who are experts in that field now to know that most of what the martial arts people teach is self-defense is complete and utter bullshit.
I think what concerns me about it is that class is available to, sorry, that self-defense session is available to the whole class. Now, without knowing anything about it, I'm going to guess that includes men, women and children.
Yeah. Which, now, don't get me wrong, you can do that. There's definitely things and ideas that you can communicate to a large group of people that are universal. Absolutely. But I don't think that's what this class is going to be, judging from what I've read on about. If I'm thinking of the post you're thinking of, I don't think that's what this class is going to be. It sounds like we've got a certified, I'll be honest, a certified Krav Maga person or something.
Oh, was it Krav Maga? I didn't see that.
No, I don't think it was, but that's what it sounds like. When I hear the word, oh, we've got certified self-defense, I guarantee that means we've got someone who's certified in a combative system or something.
I see. Got you.
Who's going to teach, here's what to do if someone grabs you. Here's what to do if someone's got you in a headlock. Someone's pinned you to the ground. I think if it's that, just leave. Just because it's a waste of time. Like, just go and do martial arts if that's what you want to do. If you want to learn how to defend against a headlock, go and learn a grappling art. And you'll get far more out of that than you will doing 5 minutes of a bad drill of someone putting you in a half-hearted headlock. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. I mean, I've referenced it many times before. My level of adrenaline, even in consensual fighting, when I get grabbed and held, is huge. And that's partner work. You know, someone comes up with play acts, you know, like Joe used to do those things of put you up against the wall and put a fist in your face. You know, do that a few times and get to learn to what it feels like to feel all that adrenaline and then learn how to push them away, stick your fingers in their eyes and run like hell.
I'm going to say, actually, let me just quickly look this up.
You can look at anything, yeah.
I just type in his name. Find the name of the website. Study of Violence, that's what I'm thinking of. So Rich Dimitris. So Rich and Pam, great people, love their self-defense stuff. We will talk to them again.
Oh, God, we will. I'll tell you what, I'll drop them a message.
That's a good idea. But, okay, if you're interested in self-defense and it's something you want to learn as a student, don't go to a class taught by a certified self-defense, whatever. Go to studyofviolence.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's Rich's website. It's completely free. And it has just courses of stuff on there that you can learn. And it's just like a normal course.
Yeah.
You can go through them. It's completely free. You don't have to pay anything. And you can get 10 times more from that, trust me, than you will from going to a quote-unquote self-defense course.
I think so too, because from everything that I've seen of their stuff, it's entirely, it's not overdramatic, it's not unrealistic. Everything is from a very realistic perspective. So you won't see any very stagey, and woman is walking across a park and she happens to be wearing leggings and a t-shirt and is completely ready to do a hip throw.
So there are five courses. I'll read them out. So you've got anti-bullying, which is a great one.
Mm-hmm.
Parents that go, oh, my kid's being bullied, let's go and teach them how to get out of a headlock. No, the parents go and do this course first,
mm-hmm.
and then see where you're at. The Foundation of Violence, which I've done, which is really, really good. Which kind of covers the kind of broad strokes of everything. Parents and Kids Safety, which is a really good one. Complete Awareness, which is important, and then Mindset as well. All of those are worth doing. And I would recommend that website over anything else that involves turning up to a class by a certified self-defense expert who they're not telling you the name of.
Well, it seemed that way, but I mean, this was I'm not ragging on anyone at all. You know, this person was. I'm not ragging on the poster, is what I'm saying. I'm not mocking anyone. I just thought it was a really interesting, and painful dilemma for the student is where I'm coming from.
It is.
Yeah, but you're ragging on the people.
Yeah, in fact, I might find that post again and link studyofviolence.com to that person.
Yeah, I tell you what, I absolutely 100% agree. And but I will just also add to it that if anyone is interested in self-defense, particularly for young people, children and young people, Jamie Club has some very interesting stuff going on there, and he's either launched or is in the process of launching a long training for children. He is a very interesting person to reach out to, I think, if you're particularly interested in his work. And I think both Rich and Pam and Jamie, they train people in their work. So I think if you got in touch with them and you wanted to find a teacher, you probably could through them find somebody who'd worked with them and learned their stuff.
Yeah. Also, just on that as well, I think before we started doing this, like the idea of talking to some of these people and just asking them their advice on certain things was kind of a bit alien.
Yeah.
But they are some of the nicest people that will help you out, regardless of who you are, if you just drop them a message.
Yeah.
So if you are thinking about this kind of stuff, just get in touch with them and they'll be more than happy to help you because it's just what they do.
They do. And they do this stuff because they really care about people knowing this stuff. Yeah. They want you to know it. You know, everyone should know this stuff. In fact, I walk down the road sometimes with my phone in my hand and I check a message and I can actually hear Rich Dimitri in the back of my head saying, put your phone down and pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. It's just reach out to them. Yeah, really do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's great. That's great. People should. Okay. On that note.
On that note, I'm going to have to run.
You go run. And
apologize for it being a quick one. I need to get back into the rhythm of doing this.
Yeah, we do. I do. We do. The disclaimer here, folks, that there's been a lot going on in our lives that has been unavoidable. And in mine, in particular, I've been letting the side down on every single way.
No, you had a lot going on.
I know, but that feels like I think we've kind of got to the end of the worst of it all now. So
yeah,
you're all distracted. Your cats are mucking around.
Again. The Ricky, he's the new one. Has just walked in and he's like, "I can see what you're doing. You're sneaking. Why are you sneaking? Don't even think about it. Or we'll have a fight. Want a fight?
Greg, don't do it. The cat will win."
He will. Well, he's got no fat like fangs.
Aww.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah. No, he was in a bad way when we got him.
Aww,
now he thinks he's the boss.
Well, let's face it, probably is.
Yeah, probably.
Mm.
Anyway.
Right. You go have a good day and see you at training tomorrow.
Yes, you will.
Absolutely. All right. Bye-bye, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Bye. Thanks for listening.
Bye.